You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. You need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort supports serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30 for 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. And just a reminder, we are still running our Save Our Supplements campaign, but there's good news on that front because we have saved our supplements from something called MPL, Mandatory Product Listing.
Yes.
Which was the initiative that was before Congress. They're kind of trying to pass with sleight of hand because they were going to tag it on an appropriations bill, which was a must-pass bill. And they said, well, yeah, just put this little provision in there. And a lot of Congress people, I think, responding to the protests and queries by people like you out there who've gone to drhoffman.com/ANH, we provided you with templates so that you can notify your congresspeople that you don't want that in the bill.
Yes.
Well, they wanted a clean bill. And they said, let's forget about this tag-along thing. That's really not fair. If we want to vote on this, let's make that a standalone initiative. And, you know, we won't make it pass by sleight of hand. So the good news is that the bill failed.
Yes.
The bad news is that there's still people out there who really want to
mandatory products.
They want it. They want it. They want to corral the supplements. Mm-hmm. And even the nutrition industry is divided because there's some people in the nutrition industry who are saying, oh yeah, that's good, you know, because we are, you know, good players and we are above board and we're happy to cooperate with the government. And I say, no.
It's kind of like the Patriot Act.
Wait. I'm not a subversive. I'm fine with that.
You're okay if you want to observe.
Yeah. It's, and you know, it kind of reminds me that it's like first they came for the Jews and I didn't say anything because I'm not a Jew. Then they came for the homosexuals and I didn't say anything because I'm not.
Exactly.
Then they came for the gypsies and I didn't say anything because
I'm not a gypsy. Yeah.
And then they came for the communists and, you know, et cetera.
Et cetera, yeah. Yeah. And finally.
Then they came for me.
Yeah. That's right.
So I say, you know, let's not.
We can't get complacent.
Yeah.
Because they will want to draw up a new bill. That is my feeling.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's my fear.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, this Congress is waning. This Congress is waning. But, you know, Congress will change, but it's still, it's kind of a bipartisan initiative because there are some, both Republicans and Democrats who are very much in bed with the pharmaceutical industry and they want to regulate supplements like drugs.
They get a lot, both parties get a lot of
support. Some issues are very clear cut. It's like the Democrats versus the Republicans. And it's clear cut. This is like crosses both party lines.
It does.
So anyway, drhoffman.com/ANH stands for the Alliance for Natural Health, ANH-USA.org, I think. And that's where you can become a active consumer.
Yes.
You know, voting for freedom of choice in healthcare.
Yes. Which we must continue to do.
Thanks for that. And let's...
We've got an email from Henry. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. We've been listening to and benefiting from your knowledge since your broadcast on WOR. We enjoy your podcasts. Henry is 65 years old, and he says, about 6 months ago, I developed an itchy rash. I'd like to resolve it naturally, but I had to seek help. I went to a well-known, respected dermatologist, prescribed
fluconazole.
Thank you.
That's an antifungal.
Right. And recommended moisturizing with Crisco. Crisco is a nice soft moisturizer, but it's hydrogenated. I would never consume a hydrogenated oil.
I think that that's...
Is it absorbable through skin?
To paraphrase Carlton Fredericks, he once said, Crisco is really great. He says, if ever I have a squeaky door or something like that, I put some Crisco on it and it stops squeaking. Because what he was basically saying is it's not designed for internal consumption.
Yeah.
It can be applied externally. And I don't think it's bad because it maybe forms like a surface barrier. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be absorbed into the skin. Mm-hmm. It's hydrogenated, so it's kind of stable. And it's horrible stuff.
Yeah.
And they actually, in all the studies about fat consumption, they have found that when they control for hydrogenated fat, it skews the studies. Fat is bad. It causes cancer. It causes heart disease. When they separate out the effects of hydrogenated versus saturated fat, the negative effects disappear. It's all about trans fats driving the harmful effects.
Right. We're talking about the factory-made trans fat.
Right.
Not naturally occurring trans fats, which is a different story altogether. Now, what's interesting about this is Henry says that the dermatologist diagnosed the condition as either eczema or psoriasis.
Right.
They don't look alike.
Well, they can look alike.
They can look alike.
Well, like classic psoriasis is like plaques of like really thick red skin. And eczema, occurs in different areas of the body. Often in the flexor surfaces, of the inner arm kind of thing. Psoriasis is more on the elbows.
Right.
But these conditions kind of overlap.
Mm.
So eczema is more associated with allergies. So there's a lot of children who have, they have asthma and eczema. So actually medications that work for asthma work for eczema too. But they don't work for psoriasis.
Yes, right.
So it's a little hard without a biopsy to differentiate the two. So I can understand. I mean, I'm actually happy that a dermatologist had trouble discerning because I had some patients say, "Well, what do I have? Do I have eczema or do I have psoriasis?" Well, I'm not a dermatologist. I say to them, "But I can't really. I'm not sure." But
yeah.
And so even dermatologists, certain types that are not classic in their appearance, they have difficulty discerning what's what.
So Henry doesn't want to use anything that's harmful, but let's talk about what may cause eczema. Eczema can be fed by sugar.
Sure.
It could be a candida condition
antifungal.
Right.
They use an antifungal.
Henry may also need to clean up his diet if this is indeed eczema,
mm-hmm.
going on a sugar-free diet, a lower-carb mm-hmm. diet. But psoriasis is autoimmune.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'll tell you.
We know it's autoimmune is because they use biologicals, medications that suppress immunity to fix psoriasis.
For psoriasis.
Yes.
We found the best results treating psoriasis going gluten-free and dairy-free. And let me say why, because a lot of people will go gluten-free and the psoriasis will get remarkably better, but it does not remit. It doesn't go into remission. Mm-hmm. Until they completely get rid of the dairy. Oh, but Layla, can I have goat cheese, sheep's milk, something? Yeah, let's try that. Okay, let's try that. And we do this because the cow's milk casein mm-hmm. is the real problem in any autoimmunity and especially in psoriasis. They'll stay away from the cow's milk casein. They'll opt for the goat, sheep's milk. But several months later, alas, the psoriasis has not gone away.
Yeah, yeah.
So guess what? We really got to completely
go culture.
And lo and behold, mm-hmm. a few weeks or months after that, it could take a few months because it's the skin.
Would it suffice to say that an autoimmune paleo diet might be a good strategy?
Absolutely.
Like a grain-free diet.
Absolutely.
And avoiding legumes, which contain lectins sometimes, instead of having peanut butter, have maybe almond butter,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not a lot of nightshades, perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Right.
I'm not even saying
The nightshades, which are tomatoes, white potatoes, eggplant, peppers.
Right.
Tobacco.
Okay. Okay. So, and then fish oil, omega-3s, sure. Anti-inflammatory.
Yes.
And vitamin
borage
D.
Borage oil. And borage oil too, no?
Borage oil, I find more in eczema.
Better for eczema than for psoriasis.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, both have a moisturizing effect on skin from the inside out, as opposed to applying some glop on the outside. See, I think that you want to moisturize from the inside out rather from the outside in.
Yeah. And because psoriasis is autoimmune, any kind of Modicare or low-dose Altrexone?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Low-dose LDN for many skin conditions is helpful.
Okay.
There's an autoimmune component to your really bad eczema, too, sometimes.
You know, I've heard, and this actually happened to a close friend of mine, she had an autoimmune type of eczema. And she had to go on a biologic and immunosuppressant.
Yeah, Dupixent they use now,
all
I think.
Of that.
Yeah.
But we didn't see that so much until recent years.
Yep.
This very super duper strong eczema. I don't know how else to describe it, but really intractable eczema.
Well, we saw a patient today who had, she had a vaccine reaction, which triggered a skin inflammation.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's characterized as eczema or what, but it's been months since the vaccine and it's receding, but she still has it. It flipped her immune system in such a way that she began to become, you know, hypersensitive.
But that's what vaccines would do. They're supposed to irritate your immune system to overreact to something to quash it.
Right. Right. Which
kind of stands to the reason
which
that
I mean, it's a two-edged sword. Just on one hand, you want to enhance your immunity, but it may have a collateral damage effect, you know, in some ways.
We strive to find Goldilocks in that type of a reaction.
Goldilocks
right?
immunity is the term.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Good point, which to pause because, not because we want to tell a fairy tale. We want to share this important message from one of our sponsors. So please listen up.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, a resource to help you take control of your health. We offer a balanced, objective analysis of all your health, wellness, and aging options, both conventional and alternative. Now you can take your engagement to the next level by joining Fullscript. Fullscript is my online dispensing platform that only offers curated, professional-grade supplement brands that I know and trust. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for more information and to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site, it's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant and offers world-class support. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals, including my custom targeted protocols that combine the products I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. It's all at DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They, of course, are what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. You know, there's a lot of different revenue models for podcasts, and some podcasts are subscription only. So you pay a flat fee, and you know, it can be kind of expensive. Like one of the podcasts I listen to is $149 a year, but I think it's well worth it. It's I consider it part of my continuing education, and I'm happy to do
it. It's your subscription budget,
but. No. There are no ads on it. We do introduce commerce in this, and we do, you know, favor our sponsors to let them tell their stories.
Sure.
But I actually think that's an interesting part of the show because these are things that I've vetted, I find helpful, and I want to bring word of them to our listeners. So there's nothing that goes on here that's just sheer dollars. You know, it's like, wow, they made us like a terrific offer and, you know, we're making oodles of money. I don't really believe in this, but we're making a killing on it. It's basically to underwrite the costs of the podcast.
Yes.
And to keep it viable.
Yes.
And to, you know, cover distribution, production costs and so on. And because we do have production and just cost to defray. And we're getting the word out, I think, about some really helpful things.
Absolutely.
So I hope that you don't find it too cloying or, you know, an intrusion on your listening, but it is a model for continuing this.
Yeah.
And finally, another model is based on clicks that, you know, you get a lot, say you get 100,000 clicks, and then it just goes to whoever puts the advertising up, whether it's Facebook or Amazon or something, they'll put anything on there.
Yeah.
They'll, you know, like, for example, I'll be watching like a YouTube or something very interesting, and then I'll see an ad for, I don't know, a car or something like that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the content.
Right.
But it's that's the revenue model for the YouTube.
Right.
And it's irrelevant to the content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and I try to speed through it because, they, you know, they give you a count to like, you know, 15 seconds, and I go,
and then it's like, skip the ads.
Skip. Right. You know, I hit skip because I'm not interested.
Exactly.
So that's another way to, and of course, that's a way to do it, but I don't think I think it's a disservice to the audience.
True. True. Or you could have a subscription to YouTube.
Yep.
Where it's ad free. Again, you pay for that. You pay to not see the ads.
Yep.
You pay a premium when you upgrade to an email where there will not be ads there in your right margin or wherever, mm-hmm. or pop-ups and things like that.
Yep.
But you got to pay for that stuff.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on, we've got an email from Les about statins. Can I stop statins or do I have to wean myself off of it? My cholesterol seems to be in a normal range. My doctor said to just keep taking them.
Okay.
Of course, your doctor did.
Many medications you can't stop cold turkey.
Sure.
Particularly psychiatric medications.
Yeah.
You'll get a terrible rebound sometimes.
Yes.
Certainly benzodiazepines and pain medications.
Yes.
You will get, because you're addicted to them, and you'll go through withdrawal.
Yeah.
If you're on hypertensive medications, you cannot stop because you may get rebound hypertension.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll make sore.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful. If you're on a medication to regulate your heart rhythm, like a beta blocker, to be careful because you might get a speed up of your heart rhythm.
Yeah.
If you take sleep medications, similarly, you might have more trouble sleeping. If you take acid blockers, you could see a surge in acidity and a lot of distress because you're suppressing that acid. It comes back like
gangbusters, it's been all let out of a closet.
Yes, like pulling back on a rubber band and then letting go. It's like, So, but with statins, you stop.
You just stop.
No problem. Now, you may see you don't want to check your cholesterol right after stopping, you know, within.
Because it's going to take a little while for the.
To equilibrate.
For your body to adjust itself.
Yeah.
And isn't there is it a 6-week half-life or am I confusing it's not a antidepressants?
It's not a half-life. It's just the effects. There's going to be maybe a rebound of your cholesterol.
I see.
But no, but that's never killed anybody. It's like, it's a high cholesterol for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks isn't going to kill you.
No.
It's the cumulative
it may be good
effects.
For you. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it depends. But it's, you can stop and there's no physical adverse effects. It's just that to get an accurate cholesterol, you may want to wait 6 weeks or a couple of months to see what it is off the
meds. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, unless you could stop taking it, Your cholesterol could be in the normal range because you've been taking it. Because he says, he's asking, should I wean myself off?
As far as a lot of doctors are concerned, pretty much everybody should be on these medications.
Because
they're so beneficial.
Because we all have statin deficiency or something.
Well, it's one of those things, living better through
chemistry.
Chemistry, right. Yeah.
That just reminds me of the Crisco again. That's interesting. So, Les, you could stop your cholesterol medication.
Speaking of Crisco, I had a friend whose husband was a baker. I mean, she was actually, she used to be at the gym that I used to work out at, and she used to run the gym and, you know, got very friendly with her. And so she, and by the way, they owned a bakery, but while they're getting the bakery off the ground, the guy worked at a supermarket, and he was the master baker. And they made so tons of baked goods. And he said, you know, I want to show you something. So he led me into the prep room. And so I saw these massive mixers, You know, when you mix the dough, like
that super big KitchenAid.
Like those, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, but you could drown in that thing. It was so big, you know. It was like a giant pot tub kind of thing. So, and then he said, well, what are those barrels over there? Because it was literally barrels in the kitchen. And he goes, that's the Crisco. They said, like, you have to, how many of those barrels do you use every week? And he goes, I don't know, like a half dozen. That's the shortening that makes the dough flaky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gives it a really nice texture, but it is super harmful to the body. So
totally.
So all that pastry, all those cookies, all that bread was like a Trojan horse that was introducing trans fats in your body.
Yes.
But I think that since then they've gotten away from that. I mean, maybe they use poor quality oils, but they're not hydrogenated anymore.
Walking into a bakery, hopefully that's not what they're using anymore. But, you know, walking into a regular grocery store, you pick up a package of sliced bread or a baguette or anything like that, and you still got to read the ingredients. And more often than not, you will see some partially hydrogenated.
They have a limit.
They do have a limit.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like, I think it's like a half a gram per serving or something like that.
Well, they're allowed to say trans fat free if it's a half a gram per serving or less. But
the serving is so small.
That's
who eats one serving?
Who eats one or two cookies? You might eat six.
Right.
That might be three servings.
Right.
Getting like a gram and a half of trans fat.
Exactly.
Which is a gram and a half too much.
Right.
Unfortunately. So that is something. Anyway, so beware your trans fats. We have an email from Christy. Hi, I have a family member who's been diagnosed with hypercalcemia.
Okay. High calcium in the blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
14.2.
Well, that's exceeding the high because we don't want it to be much over 11.
Right. From everything I'm reading, it's usually a growth and the parathyroid is removed.
Yeah.
He doesn't want surgery and would like to control the symptoms naturally.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Or any natural methods of shrinking the growth.
No.
So his parathyroid works better.
There is... In patients sometimes who are vitamin D deficient, what's called secondary hyperparathyroidism due to the vitamin D deficiency. And vitamin D can bring it down. But with a 14, it's very unlikely that's the case.
He's had one treatment with zoledronic acid to get the calcium down, but that was back in February.
Mm-hmm.
And is that?
That's a bisphosphonate, actually. It's like, it's a very strong version of, actinol and, you know, that kind of thing.
Can't also very high vitamin D levels cause hypercalcemia?
Actually, very high vitamin D levels can cause hypercalcemia. Yeah. Yes.
Again, we're looking for Goldilocks.
Right.
All the time.
Right. So, that's a surgical problem. Now, what we learned in med school is like, you know, you have to memorize a lot of stuff. So we use mnemonics. So the mnemonic for hypercalcemia was moans, bones, groans, and stones.
Huh.
So it actually stuck to me. I can remember that. So kidney stones, moans, psychic moans, because there's psychiatric effects of high calcium. You actually have this malaise, you know, feeling. Groans is you get abdominal pain associated with it. And bones, you get osteoporosis. It depletes that, all the calcium's in your blood, it comes out of your bones.
Okay.
Because of the effect of PTH, parathyroid hormone.
That's why it's in the circulation and hence the high calcium.
Right. And it's not about how much calcium. See, a lot of people think, well, I'll take a lot of calcium, the calcium will go to my bones. Or alternatively, will I get hypercalcemia from taking calcium? No, your body regulates the calcium very carefully. Yeah. It can excrete it. It can put it in the bones or it can let it out in the stool. You know, there are ways to get it out, and then it could
Or put it somewhere it shouldn't go, like coronary arteries.
Yeah.
And calcifications in breast tissue.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Christy, so there's no natural, there isn't anything
I feel like I'm the tell me it ain't so doc. You know, it's like, I'm looking for now, Dr. Altman, can I get around the surgery or can I get around the use of this medication? And I got to say, we got to know when to fold with natural medicine. And that's one of the benefits of my medical training. It's like, I know the limits. And I also know that there are natural alternatives, but there are also medical fixes that are plausible and safe.
Yes.
Some of these things.
Yes. Okay. Christy, best of luck to your relative. All right.
But 14, I would get on that. Mm. That's about as high as I've seen.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That person's not a happy camper.
No. Okay. All right. We've got an email. My friend just told me to stop taking vitamin D3 because it's toxic.
Ooh.
It causes kidney failure and high calcium to raise the toxic level.
Yes.
Please advise. I value your opinion.
Well, there have been alarmist headlines lately about vitamin D is worthless, but I haven't heard, not since medical school ever heard of the super toxic effects of vitamin D. In fact, what they used to say is you've got to take a little bit, but if you take too much, there's all these problems that can ensue. And
you take more than 400 IU?
Right, exactly. And what we discovered is that with the passage of time, we recognize that higher and higher and higher doses are relatively non-toxic. And so I'll give you an example. I get this call frantic from a mom, and I wrote this up, some of you may have seen this. I hope I'm not telling the same story again,
Story number 146.
Right. Breath, sometimes it's better in the retelling. So mom calls up, she's frantic because her son has been taking too much vitamin D. I said, well, okay. If you're overreacting a little bit, maybe. I just thought to myself, but it's like, I'll see him. I'll evaluate him.
Yeah.
I know the mom. And so the son comes in and he says, well, yeah, my mom wanted me to come in because I've been taking a lot of vitamin D. I said, well, how come you're taking a lot of vitamin D? Dr. Fauci said to take vitamin D. I said, well, how much are you taking? And he goes, I was taking, he was taking 40,000 a day,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't taking on weekends. So 40,000 a day.
Monday through Friday, 40,000.
Right. So he was taking 8 5,000s, which is 40,000.
Yeah.
Right? But he was taking the weekend off. So he was taking 40,000 a week, which is what? Like, 30,000 a day approximately, more or less.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot. We don't tell patients to take more than usually 5 or 10,000.
Yes. Depending on their levels. Yep.
Rarely that much, maybe 50,000 once a week, which is 7,000 per day, in cases where they really need a lot of vitamin D.
Sure, sure.
But so I said, wow, that's quite a lot. Well, let me test you 6 weeks. How are you doing? How are you feeling? He goes, I feel fine.
Great.
Good. Okay. You feel fine. I said, no pain in the flanks because kidney stones can occur.
Yeah.
No blood in the urine because that can occur.
Yes.
Okay. No headaches. No, because you can get pseudotumor cerebri. You can get brain, things from that and, swelling. Nope. Okay. I tested him and I found that, the PTH, which is high in patients who have hyperparathyroidism, mm-hmm. was exceedingly low because the vitamin D was suppressing it. But his urine calcium was not that high and his blood calcium wasn't that high. And everything was normal. His vitamin D was kind of high. It was over, I think it was about 120.
Okay.
Where we like it to be under 100.
Yes.
But what they show is that in a healthy young man who's like 35 years old, even that in astronomical dose taken for months is not that harmful. So the solution is, I said, stop taking vitamin D because you have plenty in your system. And then when you, after a couple of months, start taking 2,000 again, that's all you need because you're a healthy guy. You don't need to go over the top.
Exactly.
And it was in the throes of COVID and everybody's freaked out about COVID. He thought that the vitamin D, because Fauci said something about vitamin D.
Yes.
Was going to be the bulwark against all misfortune during COVID. If a little is good, a lot is better.
Yes. Yes.
But that just illustrates the relative non-toxic. Now, there are other people who are older, more debilitated, have poor kidney function. They can get in trouble with less. They can get in trouble with 10,000 a day.
They can. So we would have to be careful. That's why it's always best to check before dosing with vitamin D. We say that most people can safely take 2,000.
See, where the controversy about vitamin D has entered in is there's a lot of people have read headlines saying, stop taking your vitamin D. It's useless. It's no good. It doesn't help. And we've done several shows on all the information suggests that
we've done entire lectures on vitamin D.
Yeah. And, I'm proud to be one of the people who sort of ushered in the vitamin D revolution. A lot of people were thankful for that because we were talking about it in the 90s. I think that's a theory that's been borne out. But because one disappointing study on vitamin D, they've extrapolated that to you know, vitamin D is worthless. And we've countered that. You should listen to the podcast with Dr. William Grant, where we talk about why some of the studies have come up short and how the benefits of vitamin D are not just about bone and cardiovascular and autoimmune.
Cancer prevention, hypertension,
wonderful study that just came out on autoimmunity and how vitamin D dramatically reduces the risk of autoimmune.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So don't stop taking vitamin D, but do get tested to make sure that you're in a good range. We like to see anywhere between 55 and 85.
Mm-hmm.
That would be optimal. For most people, that would be optimal. We do make an exception for people with cancer undergoing chemotherapies. We want to see those numbers really in the 80s, don't we?
Well, yes, since it has definitely anti-cancer effects, we want to go a little more aggressive in cancer patients.
Absolutely.
For sure. Layla, that's all the time we have.
Oh, my.
Time flies when you're having fun. I see you reaching for another question, but we're kind of maxing out on our time allotment.
Wow.
So we'll read some of those additional questions that we have in the mailbag next week, and then please send more questions to patients.
No. Questions.
Sorry.
At drhoffman.net.
I'm getting mixed up. That's for our in-house.
Our patient.
Our in-house.
Email. Okay. Questions at drhoffman.net.
Yeah.
Is your destination for questions. And thank you for all of those. Keep them coming.
All right. Have a great week. A very happy new year to many of our listeners. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.